a phrase does not satisfy hunger means this hunger, not the ordinary matter of the 12 hours, never encounters a painted rice cake. Even if you were to eat the painted rice cake, it would never put the end to this hunger. There is no rice cakes separated from hunger, no rice cakes separated from rice cakes. Thus, these activities and teaching cannot be given away. Hunger is a single staff, maneuvered horizontally and vertically through a thousand changes and myriad forms. A rice cake is wholeness of body and mind actualized. A rice cake is blue, yellow, red, and white, as well as long, short, square, and round. In this paragraph, Dogen Zen mentions the meaning of hunger. He says, the phrase does not satisfy hunger means this hunger, not the ordinary matter of the 12 hours, never encounters a painted rice cake. This hunger, I think, as a conclusion, means continuous practice of the Buddha. This is the meaning of hunger. Continuous practice of Buddha. I think in the Shobo Gendo, he mentioned about continuous practice in the first paragraph. This is the most important point. You should consistently contemplate, consider deeply the meaning of the practice you do. You just sit down, but it's not merely sit down. It has a very profound meaning, because it is this kind of the simplest form of practice is very universal beyond ages, beyond the races, beyond the positions, the names, anyway, for all human beings, it is necessary this kind of practice. Otherwise, you never understand the real meaning of peace or harmony you have loved so much. So, the first paragraph of Gyoji Continuous Practice, he mentions this. A little bit difficult, but I can explain. This is the meaning of hunger, okay, in this case. In the great way of the Buddha patriarchs, there is always supreme continuous practice. which is the way without beginning or end, arousing the thought of enlightenment, practice, body, and nirvana, haven't the slightest break, but our continuous practice which goes on forever. Therefore, it is neither one's own effort nor someone else's effort. It is pure, continuous practice which transcends the opposition of self and others. In the great way of the Buddha patriarchs, there is always supreme continuous practice. Supreme continuous practice is very refined, purely, clearly defined human action for everyone. Originally, human action must be based on very pure and clear nature of human action. What is tuning in realism of universe? So human action originally is very pure. That's why he says there is always supreme continuous practice. It's not the particular person should experience this, not for the ordinary people. We believe in that way. Ordinary people never experience this pure, clear nature of human action, which is very refined. We always believe that kind of practice is just for the saint or religious persons, etc. This is really misunderstanding. Because whoever you are, all are anyway living right in the midst of rhythm or melody of universal life. So that's why in the great way of Buddha patriarchs, if you really want to learn Buddhas and patriarchs, Buddhas and patriarchs means a person who experiences highest level of human action, human activity, extended into every aspect of human life. But simply speaking, we say adept. So, okay, adept of archery, adept of cross-country ski, adept of football game, you can say adept. But adept of football game is really different from Buddhas and the patriarchs, because a little bit the direction is different. In what direction they are aiming at. Football player always, they have a certain direction to satisfy his own position or technique or talent. Nurturing his own talent, capability, that's it. That's all he has to do in his whole life. But Buddhists and ancestors and bodhisattvas have their own direction to go. What is called four vows. Save all sentient beings. Putting an end of delusions in order to save all sentient beings. And also to learning consistently that Dharma, depths of Dharma. And also accomplish Buddha way. This is direction of Buddhas and patriarchs and bodhisattvas. So if you have a different direction, I think life comes forth in a different way. Okay? Is that clear? Do you understand? Okay? But everybody, generally speaking, everyone are building up their own life, standing in the universe. I say universe, okay. But this universe is, I always mention, is not the definition of a universe in terms of physics and biology, etc. Universe is really boundlessness, eternal. eternity. This is the universe, okay? Function of a universe. So, that is a Buddha and patriarch. If you want to learn or study the human life, tuning in to the rhythm of universe, melody of universe. This is called temporarily spiritual life. Okay? Spiritual life or religious life. Those people who seek for religious life or spiritual life always has a certain direction to go in order to save all sentient beings. Not for just for sake of accomplishing individual talent or capability, but usually people do, always. If you become artist, if you become sportsman, if you become professional person, anyway, whatever kind of professional area you belong, always we are aiming, we have always a certain direction to satisfy or to accomplish individual purpose, goal, for the sake of satisfying individual desire. That's it. This is the usual life. But bodhisattvas, Buddhas, and patriarch ancestors are completely different. And then, different world comes forth, created by those people. But up here, generally speaking, everyone living or doing same things. Okay? Same things. That's why in the great way of the Buddha patriarch theory is always supreme continuous practice, which is the way without beginning or end. Dogen Zenji mentions in Japanese, we say, Gyoji Dokan. Gyoji means continuous practice. Dokan means literally, how can I say, garland of the path, garland of the way. That literal meaning. Gyoji is a garland. The garland of the way. And also garland that Gyoji is continuous practice is garland of the way means to go endlessly without stopping at all, even for a moment, without breaking at all. Continually goes. So that's why he says the supreme practice, continuous practice, which is the way without beginning and or end. Arousing the thought of enlightenment. This is arousing the body-mind. Okay? Arousing body-mind means, plainly speaking, the motive for one's action. Motive. So in this case, the motive of one's religious action, in other words, refined actions, refined. What is the motive for our religious or spiritual action? Okay, this is called body-mind. Okay, body-mind. Arousing the body-mind. Or the way-seeking mind, okay? So, the arousing body-mind, practice and enlightenment and nirvana have not the slightest break. So those four, arousing body-mind, practice, enlightenment, nirvana, four go in circle with beginninglessness and endlessness. Continually goes. So, body mind, arousing body mind, and practice. Practice is a human action based on the motive for our the spiritual, religious action, very refined action. Okay? That is a practice. And then, enlightenment is through by virtue of the human action based on the body mind, we can experience something. This is called wisdom. That is so called enlightenment. Body, say. So through the practice, we can experience wisdom. Okay. And then nirvana is everyday life based on wisdom. So you have to stand up in the realm of wisdom and then build up everyday life. This is called nirvana. Okay, nirvana. So, motive for the human actions, human religious action, refined action, and then you get into the practice. Through the practice, you can experience something called wisdom by which you can see deeply into human world very clearly with no cloud. Buddha's ancestor does and do in that way, okay? Then that is enlightenment. Then if you realize wisdom means the principle of existence, okay? Principle of universe. Principle, if you see the universe and the whole world very clearly and with no cloud, at that time, principle of existence comes into your heart very clearly, exactly. At that time, principle of universe existence is transformed, so-called wisdom. Okay? So if you see wisdom objectively, that is called principle of existence. Principle, but temporarily I say, principle of existence or truth. You can see. Truth means seeing deeply into the structure of the human world, the human beings, etc. How they are going. Okay? So if you see clearly, if you touch that one, then you can digest that principle of existence with your heart. And then, principle of existence transformed as wisdom, which is present in your heart. Okay? That is called wisdom, enlightenment. That's why we say enlightenment. Okay. And then, until the enlightenment, until the experience of enlightenment, you always stand up in the human world. Okay. And then when you get into the nirvana, situation would be completely reversed. Okay? The place we are standing is not human world, but it is nirvana, wisdom. Okay? Wisdom. Enlightenment. And then continually you have to stand up in the enlightenment wisdom, and then you have to build up your everyday life. That is called nirvana. Is that okay? So it's not the religious spiritual life is not always seeking for something outside or something spiritual inside. Okay? Separate from everyday life. You cannot do it. If you do it, if you did spiritual practice like that, you are really spaced out. You are confused.
So I think final goal is how can you have to continually consider the or contemplate or thinking deeply how you can build up everyday life, standing always in the realm of wisdom that is Buddha's world. Okay? So your feet must be, or in other words, wisdom means peace, harmony. Okay? You have to stand up always in the realm of peace, harmony, and non-violent, clean speaking you love so much. But you always say with the words and in the mouth and the head, but your feet is never touched, stand up, and never rooted in the place of the peace and harmony. At that time, no matter how long you try to seek for the peace and harmony, it is a problem because your feet is not rooted in the peace. And then only your head is trying to get the peace. It's really a problem. So that's why people create violence naturally. Under the beautiful flag of a non-violent, we create violence. Under the beautiful flag of a peace, a harmony, or religion, or Buddha, or God, and then we create problem, fighting. That is really common. So I think we shouldn't forget the practice of nirvana. That's why Buddha mentions nirvana, uses term nirvana. Nirvana means blow out means very peace, perfect peace, serenity, perfect serenity. Okay, very clear, very serene, but it's active, very active. So you have to stand all things. Nirvana means enlightenment. Enlightenment practice and the arousing body minds and mysticism, all things comes into nirvana and digest that. And then something coming up that is everyday life. So called nirvana, we said. Okay? So nirvana is not enlightenment. Okay? A little different. No, quite different. Quite different. Nirvana is the very generous, magnanimous state of existence where all kinds of human experiences, mysticism and God, Buddha and Brahman and the Brahma and many gods and at the Mount Sumeru, there are many kind of things come into nirvana and digest it. All are digested. Then after digestion, then create complete peace. That is nirvana. And then standing up there, and then build up everyday life. That is the definition of that nirvana Buddha mentions. Okay? So those four always go in circle continually and consistently without breaking even for a moment. Okay? So if you allow the body mind, it is not allow the body mind separate from everyday life or nirvana and the enlightenment. So arousing body mind motive for religious action has very profound meaning. Don't judge quickly. Even for a moment, if you have such a spirit, even the slightest spirit of arousing body mind, seeking for the truth, that's great, you know, because it's linked with nirvana enlightenment. So it's very thick life, very thick life. Of arousing body mind, seeking for the truth is very thick. Okay? It's not first grade. You have to go through in order to accomplish religious life. No, it's not first grade. It's first grade, but simultaneously it's end, highest grade. Okay? That is the human life. All this human life is human action must be like this. Okay? So, how can I say? For instance, the motive for the defined human action means to give away your body and mind to a certain things you want to learn, okay? So that is aspiration, we say. Maybe we can say aspiration for accomplish something you want to do. Okay? And that time, your action must be very dynamic in activity. Very dynamic. So under all circumstances, you really give away your body and mind to something. Okay? So at that time, in the realm of full devotion of human activity, very naturally, object and subject become one. Okay? Or object, your consciousness become one. Very naturally. That is called the body-mind. Okay? Body-mind. Arousing body mind. That's why arousing body mind is not the mental imagination, not the thinking or imagining something divine far from us in the heaven or somewhere. No, that is a delusion. Real body mind is exactly something arrived in the everyday life. So that's why naturally you can get it into the practice. So body mind is really you become one, your consciousness become one with your object. Exactly. This is a characteristic of body mind. Okay? And then you get it into the real practice, so-called human action or human activity. In the human activity, naturally, you forget time process. Okay? Time process. Because you really devote yourself into. So you forget. You can go beyond time process. Time. If you forget the time, if you go beyond time, naturally, you can go beyond space. Because time and space not to separate. So your life, that's why your life is very stable there. Okay? Very steady. Very steady there. And then that is a practice, characteristic of practice, going beyond time and space. This is refined practice, refined human action. And then we find the human action naturally brings you forgetting the self-consciousness. Okay? There is no self-consciousness. That is called enlightenment. Enlightenment. So if you climb the mountains, if you really climb the mountains or climb the rock mountains or football game, country ski, dance skiing, whatever you do, okay? If you really devote yourself to do this, to accomplish it, very naturally you experience no sense of self-consciousness there, okay? At that time, you really enjoy doing something. People say it's fun. It's fun. But that fun is not merely giving the pleasure to you, not from some deep, very something deep. Okay? So it's really enjoy beyond people's suggestions, people's criticism. You really enjoy. So continually, you enjoy very much, even beyond hard or easy or you know, soft and hard practice. It doesn't matter. So you really enjoy it. That is called enlightenment. All right? Is that okay? And then, you naturally, you can get into enlightenment, and then if you enlightenment like that, so-called continuous enjoying the your doings very naturally, what would you say? Country ski and you, subject and ski, subject and the mountains, but gives you very peaceful feedback of action, activities, which is completely in balance, perfect balance, no confusions. Okay? You don't create this one. If you enjoy, if you become one with the ski and the mountains, the snow mountains, and just ski from down, practice down ski, okay? And that time, there is no sense of self-consciousness, and you really one with the ski and mountains, okay? And that time, your posture, physical posture, a mental posture, okay? Inactivity is perfectly kept in balance. Continue with the, well, with the perfect feedback between, I don't know, who gives this suggestions, who gives that perfect, the perfect activity which is kept in balance, okay? I don't know. But if you practice, if you experience this one very natural, if you experience a full devotion to do something very natural, you experience this one. So that's why if you enjoy very much, then you cannot stop. You cannot stop doing. You cannot stop, practicing down skiing. Okay. So when the snow falls, immediately you want to go, okay? Because mountain is there. Now people say it's dangerous. People say it's dangerous. And why do you like such a dangerous sport? You don't care, you know. Immediately you want to go. You want to go to the snow mountains, you know. But people say it's dangerous. But beyond the danger or not danger, if you really enjoy your life with the mountains and the skis and etc., you cannot stop it. Because there is some, how to say, I don't know, how can I say feedback, but that is kind of a momentum of activity, energy going on between, which is completely perfect, in balance, perfect balance, okay? So that is a momentum. Who created this momentum? We don't know, okay? So because momentum is autotelic nature of the human activity, that's it. Within the activity, it has all its own purpose. There is no purpose externally to itself, nothing. No particular purpose. So very naturally, you want to go, something compels you to do. something, not something compared to you. But if you see the something which compares you to do, it's still, you know, you feel something, you feel, you know, somebody or something ordering you. So it's not the compares, but something there. Something will give, encourage you to do continually, consistently. Okay? That's why very naturally there is your everyday life coming up, comes forth. That is called Nirvana. Okay? So in the Nirvana, it's very peaceful and also dynamical. Okay? So those four go continually in circle of it. This is a nature of refined human action. Okay? So religiously, if you seek for the spiritual life, your each activity, action must be so. Zazen is simple action. Okay? But simple action called Zazen must be like this, must be based on those teachings of four activities in going in circle consistently, okay? Without breaking even for a moment. That's why just sitting is not just sitting. Just sitting is really something. That's why this simple practice, so-called just sitting, has been handed down for generation and generation. For everyone, universal. That's why Kanda Zen means recommendation, the universal recommendation. Okay? Kanda Zen, okay? Universal recommendation for the of Zazen, for everyone, you know? Body mind, arousing body mind practice. If you use a technical term, okay, arousing body mind practice and the enlightenment Nirvana. That's the Dogen's information. So I explained that one now. Okay, so that's why let's read. Arousing here says arousing the thought of enlightenment. I don't think thought. I don't know. The Francis Cook translated arousing the thought of enlightenment. I don't think thought of enlightenment. Real enlightenment, anyway. Well, anyway, it's pretty difficult to translate it into English, so I use arousing body mind heart, or body heart and mind, I don't know. Anyway, arousing body mind practice and Nirvana have not the slightest break, okay? But a continuous practice which goes on forever. That's why it goes forever, because that human activity is not the not for the sake of accomplishing your individual purpose or goal, but for all sentient beings. As long as human beings exist in this world, as long as human beings, all human beings, get into Nirvana, anyway, you cannot stop it. So, on and on, you can go. Therefore, it is neither one's own effort nor someone else's effort. It is pure, continuous practice which transcends the opposition of self and others. Therefore, this continuous practice, okay? Continuous practice is neither one's own effort. In other words, neither one's own compulsion, nor someone else's compulsion. Okay. Is that okay? This is important because come back to the nirvana I explained. When you reach the nirvana, in other words, if you reach the very refined human action, very naturally, there is no particular goal externally to itself. In other words, for what? Who make it possible for you? Or sentient being or whatever it is, what make it possible to do this? In other words, what make it possible for your action to be active? We don't know. Actually, who did it? Who asked you? I ask you? I ask me to do this? Still, this is my own compulsion. Or, if you have a goal ask you to do this. So in order to reach the goal, you have to do it. You know, this is a business. Or business and whatever you do, that is a human world. Or history, in outlook on history, we say there is an end, there is a goal of the human world. You will reach. That is the end of the world. Okay. Sometimes we will reach the end of the world, and then at that time God comes forth. Okay. And create God's world. This kind of outlook on history is of its purpose and goals to extend outside of you. Okay? And then history goes in a straight line. Okay, from here to there. Is that okay? That is a usual outlook on history. Buddhism is a little different. So I think not Buddhism, that human life, if you really see human life very deeply, it is not perfect. It is not good enough. So finally, human activity possesses its own purpose within itself. Okay? Not outside, no reward. That's why Bodhidharma says no reward. When Emperor Wu asked, what's the reward? What's the merit? After building up the temples, after practicing Zazen, after educating the monks and Buddhist nuns, sir. And then what's the merit? So he says, no merit. So, if there is no merit, what's the essence of a Buddhist teaching? He says, the vast, nothing and vast. Vast and nothing. Holy. Means vast and nothing, holy and profane. Well, this is a teaching of the Buddhism. In other words, nothing vast and nothing nothing holy and profane means, generally speaking, emptiness, we say. Emptiness is what? Quality of emptiness is interdependent co-origination. What is interdependent co-origination? Interdependent co-origination is activity in dynamism and activity in stillness. Okay? This is emptiness. So, next question comes up. Okay. Who make these activities? Okay? if you go back, trace back to the source, okay, of the original activity, original nature of activity, who make this one? Okay. Do you understand? And then when we say, God make, but this is still, you know, you do outlook on the history. Same applied to the outlook on the history. So always we want to have a something above, and then this guy always creates something, and or control. This is a dualistic dualism. We love it so much. It's very difficult to stop it, you know. It's very difficult to go beyond. Beyond means it's very difficult to go deep. Okay? Dualistic, depth of dualistic is non-dualist. Non-dualism. Exactly. That is called emptiness. Very clear and pure emptiness. What is the emptiness? Emptiness is interdependent co-origination. What is the interdependent co-origination? This is activity in dynamism and stillness. What is that? So activity consists of, well, generally speaking, this is a very rough explanation, but the activity of a universe consists of a time and space, okay? What is a time? Time is, the quality of the time is maybe causation, we say. Okay? Causation. So cause and effect there. And then the time goes constantly. So causation, it brings times to go endlessly. And also, what is a space? Space consists of myriad, okay, conditions, elements. This is a quality of space. And the causation, time, and space come together to create. If two things come together, it works. Okay? It creates action, activities, energy, in motion, in action, naturally. If I hit you, very naturally there is some sensation coming up, ouch, something like that. So very naturally something happens. Okay. So time and space and come together working, and then that is called activity, we say. Okay. What is the time? Basis of the time is what? Dogen Zenji Mason's rise, arising only. So what is the basis of time? Time never stay with the definition of time. Time must be time, and also someday, somewhere, time has go beyond time. Because time works with space. So time goes beyond time, then it's transformed into space. Space must go beyond space, and then it turns into time. So vice versa, always going like that. That is activities, okay? Activity of the universe. Or we say stillness, or the dynamism going on, or according to Chinese, yang yue, what would you say? Minus and plus.
Yin and
yang. Huh?
Yin and yang.
Yes, that's it. Well, two things anyway, but according to philosophical time and space, we can say, okay? So that is activities. So finally, what we want to know is who creates this activity? We don't know. We don't know completely. I explained a moment in the Colorado. At that time, someone asked me who make that moment. I explained 60 moments, instance in a moment. Moment consists of 60 instances. And then someone asked me, who makes those 60 instances? I don't know. But I said 60 instances create 60 instances. That's it. Means autoteric, nature of the 60 instances. So what is your practice? Why do you do practice? No, no. It says Kantara is no reward, with no rewards, no purpose, just sit down. At that time, you can really return to the source of human activity. That is called defined action. Okay? This is a dhyana. We do. So, who forced you? No one. No one. You can't stop it. But there is no one. No goals, no rewards externally, but you can't stop it. So you, all you can do is just do it. So finally I say, just do it. Keep your mouth shut, just do it. But you don't believe me. But this is your original nature. Trees, birds, whatever. So that's why he says, Dogen Zen says, therefore it is neither one's own effort nor someone else's effort. It is pure and continuous practice which transcends the opposition of the self and others. Whoever you are, not beyond the holy or profane, or ordinary or wise, beyond this one. If you are a human being, if you are living beings, you have to exist in that way. No exceptions. Without exception, everything exists in that way. Okay. So, from this point, how can you satisfy your anger? Hunger. Okay? So just do it. No rewards, no purpose. And just do continue. This is called hunger. So hunger is continuous practice. Just continuous practice. But no time, no goal, no rewards, and what satisfy, what is supposed to satisfy you, but nothing. So you are always a hunger. Okay? That's why he says hunger, the phrase doesn't satisfy. Hunger means this hunger, not to the ordinary matter of the 12 hours. It is that 12, it's not the usual sense of hunger according to the rhythm of 12 hours. Okay? Mean in terms of usual sense. Here is an interesting story. In the Hekkyo Zen master, one day walked outside with the monks, and then the noontime came, and the drum was hit, by a monk to announce the noontime, okay? And then one monk really felt happy and jumping, and then went back to the monastery and the temples, and was very happy. And then Hekkyo saw that monks and enjoying and going back to the temple, and right after hearing the sound of the drum, okay, and then he says, it is said that Avalokiteshvara attained the enlightenment right after hearing the sound of the bell. Probably that monk might be Avalokiteshvara. Then later, when he gave a speech to the assembly, he says, why did you enjoy very much going back to the temple and right after hearing the sound of the drum? He says, I was very hungry. So, the very usual way, he was very happy right after, you know, hearing the sound. So that's why I went back to, you know, in the temple and eat the lunch. That's all I thought. The hunger is not something, such a kind of meaning, okay? So that's why he says, not ordinary matter of the 12 hours. Never encounter a painted rice cake. Hunger never encounter painted rice cake. Painted rice cake means activity. Okay? This activity itself is painted your life. That is a painted life. What is painted life is, painted life is not the result of activity. Okay? Activity itself is painted life. Is that clear? We naturally separate. If you see that picture in terms of time process, your consciousness naturally understands, yes, the painted picture comes after activity. No. Not exactly. It is not good enough. So, activity itself is painted picture. Otherwise, painted picture is really something dead. Why do you feel something alive through the masterpiece painted by the famous painters? Van Gogh and etc. Even though you know that his stories, his life, but if you see the light pictures, exactly it's alive. We don't know what's make it alive. It's not the, you can feel the Van Gogh, you know, Van Gogh's energies, life energies there. So I think the result, painted picture is not the result after your activities. So activity itself is really painted life. So painted life, hunger never painted life cake. So if you see the actual true refined human activity, what is a human activity? Who makes not human activities? We don't know. Because human activity possesses its own purpose within itself, not outside of the activity. Is that clear? So that's why I say autotelic nature of activity. This is a pure, refined human action. That time, that brings you to deepening your life, really deepening, and strength of your life, naturally. That is called faith religious speaking, okay? So, so from this point, you never encounter the painted rice cake. The hunger never encountered painted rice cake. Means that kind of human activity never encounter, you know, painted rice cake. Means painted your life. Your life is always something we understand the result of the life after your effort. But it's not. It is not doing good enough. So, never encounters a painted rice cake. That's why in Shobo Gendo Dogen Zenji mentions continuous practice in the monastery is quiet must be quiet, continuous practice. Quiet, means serene, steady, very quiet, not showy. Continuous practice in the monastery must be still, quiet, tranquil, continuous practice. Not showy, not excitement, very calm, quiet, because no particular purpose. But you cannot stop it. So always going. And then if you do it, very naturally within that state of human refined activity, you can see the building, you can see the picture of the building in your life, everyday life. Then you can feel deepening, maturity of your life. You can see naturally. This is called strength. It says strength. Even if you are to eat the painted rice cake, it would never put an end to this hunger. Even though to eat the painted rice cake means the rice cake, even though you do continually this practice, you never satisfy your hunger, okay? Because activity itself is already hunger. Continuous practice is hunger. So even though continually you eat it, constantly you eat it, for 10 years, 20 years, still karagiri is karagiri. But within the karagiri is karagiri, there is something different. Through what? Through this continuous practice, you know. Continuous practice is what? Hunger. So still I cannot stop doing. So that's why bodhisattvas vows to demonstrate their life based on Buddha's activities. Yeah? Saving all sentient beings is only Buddha's task. People cannot do. Usual people cannot do at all. Okay? Yeah. I can say. If so, why do you do so? Why do you seek for? That's why it is impossible. But impossible is not. Impossible. Impossibility is possible. So all we have to, that's why bodhisattva vows to do same things as Buddha does. Okay? Because we are already Buddha. But we don't realize that's it. So still possibility is here. We are already Buddha. Possibility doesn't mean something hidden inside of you or outside of you. No, it doesn't mean that. But impossibility is something appeared already because you say impossibility. You know, so-called Buddha, you don't see, but it's already. If you say impossibility, you already know it. Okay? Impossibility. So impossibility is not impossible. It is possible already because you can see it. You already see it. Okay? So that's why anyway bodhisattva vows to do same things as Buddha did. Continually, forever. So that's why I mentioned yesterday Buddha Shakyamuni is helped blind monks to put the thread into a, you know, needle head. why Buddha has to do. Buddha is already Buddha, perfect person. It's not necessary to eat the rice cake. It's a perfect person. But still he cannot. He cannot stop doing because his practice is still hunger. Continually going. Just do. This is a vow. This is a really vow. And also Dogen Zenji mentions, forever I will stay in Ehe, Mount Ehe, forever. Without leaving monastery at all. Life after life, for age after age. And then helping all sentient beings. After that, if I have a chance, I can go into Buddha's world. So that means, as long as human beings, if human beings exist in this world, who suffer a lot, he never have a chance to get into the Buddha's world. But he vowed at this. What do you mean? Buddha's vow or Dogen Zenji's vow is forever you have to carry out this continuous practice. Okay?
There is no rice cakes separate from hunger. So, rice cake, your life, your life is not separate from hunger, continuous practice. Okay. So all you have to do is, if you see continuous practice to go hunger, hunger is not separate from rice cake. Painted life. Painted life is exactly rice cake. Hunger. Okay? So always there is one. Means no particular purpose and goes externally to itself. Because we don't know, strictly speaking, who makes these activities? Who makes your life? Who compels you? Who encourages you to live in this world? We don't know. You or somebody else? No. You just live? No. So, we don't know. But even though you don't know, you continue to live. So that is continuous practice. Constantly going. Thus, these activities and teaching cannot be given away. So this kind of thing is not the particular teaching you can give to somebody. No. You have to know. You have to do it. Okay? That's why the Zen master attain the enlightenment by the hearing the sound of the rock hitting the bamboo tree. That person, they ask the Isan Zen master, please teach me because I am very confused. But he says, I don't want to tell you because if I say so, you might be happy, but in the future, you will regret because you would lose the opportunity to taste real meaning of defined activity. So called religious life or spiritual life, Buddhist life, whatever. Okay? So that's why he didn't. So this kind of practice, continuous practice, is not something I can give you. No. Nothing to give away. But I can demonstrate. Buddha demonstrate, ancestors demonstrate. Ancestors live together and Buddhas live together. Walk hand in hand. This is the same old sentient being.
and then you taste it.
Okay, that's why it says these activities and teaching cannot be given away. Hunger is a single star maneuvered horizontally and vertically through a thousand changes in the myriad forms. A rice cake is wholeness of body and mind actualized. Rice cake is blue, yellow, red, and white, as well as long, short, square, and round. Dogen Zen says in the Gyoji, a continuous practice, he says, Entering is monastery. It's monastery means get into the activity or living. Or birth, life, and leaving or going out means a death. We can say death, going in, going out. We always do. Entering session and leaving a session. Okay, and entering this room and leaving this room, going in and out. This is human activity. Okay, so entering is monastery. So monastery is not the particular place you believe. So entering in our everyday life is really monastery, because this is a continuous practice. What is entering? So-called living in this world. Entering into the living, what do you mean? What is the activities? What kind of activity we should do? Just continuous practice. And leaving the living, what do you mean? What kind of activity we should do? There is a particular practice, activities? No, just continuous practice. So, and also he says, entering is monastery, leaving is monastery, and the tracks of flying birds is monastery. Tracks of the flying birds are monastery. Whole world is monastery. So, continuous practice, which has its own purpose inside, within it, in itself, not outside, exposes or extends into everywhere, every inch of the universe, every inch of aspect of you, human life. Animate being, inanimate being, birds, flies in the sky, what kind of activity they do? Is there a particular activity which is different from human activity? Same. What is the activity of the tree? What is the activity of snow, winter, summer? Is there particular activities? No, exactly same. So wherever you may go, sports, artist, musician, that's why they can experience same things. But the question is still different, little bit different, because I mentioned before, artists always try to accomplish their own capability for the sake of fame, reach, and nature. Not the pros and cons, success and failure. That's it. But both the spiritual life has no purpose. No purpose if you have a purpose for the sake of saving all sentient beings. It is really vague. Saving all sentient beings, what does it mean? So it seems to be a complete same as a no purpose. Because countless all sentient beings exist. Who should I help? Who should I help? Now, how long should I help all sentient beings? no purpose, no end. So, purpose of saving all sentient beings is purposeless, strictly speaking, okay? Because this is a spiritual purpose, goal. That's why, because this is a state of panorama picture or original nature of human existence based on the time and space. Time is all what? Time is time, but time is timeless time. Then time gets into space. Space is spaceless space. Then space turns into the time. So there is total activity there. Who makes this activity? We don't know. Just do it. So that's why wherever you may go, this is just a hunger there. See? Then rice cake is blue, yellow, and white, as well as long, square, short, long, round. So wherever you may go, okay, car, you know, car shape, and for the artist has a very sharp, strong sensibility, okay, for the car, to the car, exactly. He knows, he has a great sensibility how to paint, how to put the natural color into the, on the canvas. See? They know. By what kind of activity? Same thing. So sensibility is what kind of activity? This is the intuition. What is the intuition? Intuition is continuous just activities. Activities did. Activity is just activity. So that is the okay. That's all. Probably I mentioned before. I think if you don't believe that human activity, I think you should read. Probably I mentioned before. You should read the book written by Csikszentmihalyi. You know, name of book is Beyond Boredom and Anxiety. That book explains wonderful things, which is pretty close to the Buddhism. Okay, you will believe if you read this one. You believe what they're teaching. But you don't believe the teaching given by me. Okay? So, I will give you a reference, and then you believe. That's interesting, isn't it?
Is it written in English?
Huh? Yes.
Oh, good.
Very interesting book. Okay, do you have a question?
What is activity and painting? Is that the same?
Same. Activity is without form, you cannot act it. If you demonstrate activity, there is some form, okay? Is that okay?
So the skiing down the mountain is the same thing?
For sure. That's true. Painting.
Is that vertical and horizontal?
That is everywhere. All directions. Horizontal, vertical means everywhere.
All ten directions,
yes. In other words, time passes. I read before, time passes. Do you remember? Time has the quality of the time. No, quality of the passage. It passes from today to tomorrow. It passes from today to yesterday, something like that. Or it passes from today to today.
But we believe time passes from today to tomorrow, okay? Or from yesterday to today, we believe it. But a real quality of the time passes from today to yesterday. Because time is timeless. Turning into the space. So in all directions, to 10 directions, time goes. If you don't believe, you should go to the moon, you know, with a rocket. You don't feel the time. But you are just in the space, you know, floating. But it's time there. So time is time there. What do you mean, timeless time? If you don't take care of your body, you are really going in all 10 directions. And finally disappear. Do you understand? So when you are right in the middle of the big board, where is in timeless time, you're just there. But if you don't take care of your body, it goes in 10 directions, freely, finally disappears. Okay? So time, real time is timeless time. It's going everywhere because it's space. But it's space, but in the space there is a time anyway. So that's why he says that time passes from today to yesterday, and today to today, because today has the morning, noon, and the evening, and night, and there, but all time. Today is a time. So time is going.
When you say the time passes from today to yesterday, although we believe.
You say that it goes from today to tomorrow, mm-hmm.
but actually it only exists from today to yesterday. So the only thing that really exists is the present moment
all the time. In the present moment, you have to see the really vastness of the time activities. Okay, that is the quality of the moment to moment. Okay, you cannot say the moment time, space in time. No. That tiny so-called moment is really vast, you know, because moment consists of 60 instances. What do you mean? You never catch up in that way. But if you catch up, I think 60 moments there, the last one, last instance, so-called 60, is the end of the moment, but simultaneously it is the beginning of the next moment. Okay? But those 60 moments, the instances, goes very quick beyond your space, beyond your intellectual sense. Very shortest. Something more than, idea of time, shortest time, idea of shortest time, discovered by physicists. Nowadays.
So you're not talking about ideas, you're talking about experience and meditation, right?
Sure.
That's why you say it's beyond ideas.
Hmm?
That's why you say it's beyond ideas, because
beyond, yes. Yes. But within that experience of meditation, there are many beings exist. So including ideas and philosophy. Idea, definition of moment, or definition of the moon, definition of the sun. Well, where should they go? Just one. That is a meditation we do. But if you ever one. disclose exactly huge universe comes forth. Is that all right?
Hunger doesn't sound very pleasant.
Hunger
doesn't sound very pleasant. You know, didn't say it's joy, it says it's hunger. So how do you keep from despair?
It's present. It's really present.
I believe it, but how do you keep from despair?
Despair. Despair, that is a common sense. It is through the six senses we say, we put the name on it. At that time we say hunger. That hunger is idea of a human life in terms of 12 hours. That's why he says. So if you see the hunger in terms of 12 hours, you don't know how to... No, excuse me. There are lots of experience there. Despairs and despairs itself. Okay? Many things. But you have to understand real hunger. Okay? So in terms of real hunger, despair is not something particular. Part of our hunger. So all you have to do is just straightforwardly, you should accept despair. You know, the people say, I practice for 10 years, 20 years, but my life has never been changed. That makes you suffer a lot. That means you're always chasing after something externally. Do you understand? But if you see your life which has never been changed through your belief, okay? Why don't you accept? Don't be struggling right in the middle of no change. And then, if you really accept totally, it's change. You can change. Because you feel relief. But you don't accept all of a sudden your head is going out. Instead of being with it exactly steady with steadiness and steadfast and all the struggling, that's why no matter how long you go in that way, you never satisfy. That is called hunger. You just say hunger. That's terrible, don't you think so? But religiously speaking, hunger is wonderful. Anyway, not wonderful, you know. Just a simple, simple practice.
I was thinking about hunger and thinking that hunger when there's no food around and hunger when I'm eating seem very different to me.
Yeah, a little bit different. Not different, but... Now I'm talking about a little different, okay? But it's not a different, strictly speaking. It's the same, but a different project, issue. You want to know about hunger. That's
what I was wondering is if when you say practice is like hunger, when I'm eating, I don't mind being hungry. I like being hungry. And so I wondered whether the hunger that practices is like that, or whether it's like the hunger when there's no food around.
Well, I think I don't know exactly, but use your sense of a hunger, okay? Hunger itself doesn't give you any sense of hunger or not hunger. Because... sometimes you must be with the hunger, as it is. When you have to die, if you have to, you know, what would you say, starved to death, you know, sometimes. Well, you have to struggle to death. But other people cannot see them being starved to death. That's why they try to help. But a person who are right in the middle of hunger, day by day, all he or she has to do is to be right in the middle of hunger. What kind of practice? What kind of activity they should do? Okay, that's really hunger. That is real meaning of a hunger, so-called continuous practice there. That's what it is. Every person who suffer from the hunger must practice this one. Otherwise, you cannot take care of a certain situation called hunger. No. Well, hunger is a difficulty you can experience everyday life, you know. How can you take care of difficulty in everyday life? This is the same as hunger. So if you forget that basic practice, so-called continuous practice, you know, you never know how to take care of difficulties. But on the other hand, there are many people who are around you, okay, who live around you. That's why they cannot see your life who suffer from your difficulty. That's why they try to help you. But sometimes helping makes you more trouble. But sometimes it helps very much. It's good for you. But basically, whatever happens, help or no help, what you have to do is just to bear. Day by day. Right in the middle of difficulty. Don't you think so? At that time, you can accept others' help. Okay? And food, and also psychological help, and many help there. That's Dogen Zenji mentions that human life. So I don't mean you should ignore, you know, the hunger, many people who are hungry, you know, okay, in the world. But whatever kind of area you live, I think there is a very important basic practice for human beings. So that is the intention through this. That is a spiritual right.